1633, physicist and astronomer Galileo Galilei was ordered by the church to turn himself into the Holy Office, to stand trial for his belief that the earth revolved around the sun and not the other way around. The church officials argued that the Bible made it clear that this was the truth and wouldn't hear any of his new ideas, his new science, of how the earth could possibly revolve around the sun. Within months, he was convicted of heresy and condemned to prison. And for once a week, for 3 years, he had to recite the 7 penitential psalms, which are the psalms listed as being expressive of sorrow and sin. Galileo spent the rest of his life under house arrest, agreeing not to teach such heresy anymore. All because the church refused to give up the old and take a look at the new. And it took another 300 years or so for the church to even admit that they were wrong and have Galileo's name cleared of any heresy. Talk about not being willing to let go of the old. But this was a general habit. It happened time and time again. The belief that the earth is flat, of arguing against evolution, the Big Bang Theory, and not the TV show, but the origin of the universe. Time and time again, there were disagreements and arguments, stubbornness, shouts of heresy, because these new things didn't fit in line with the old. And not just scientific discoveries, but even just various different traditions and teachings. The whole Protestant Reformation began because the Holy Roman Catholic Church refused to reform, to change, in a sense, to let go of the old. We all do that too sometimes. We get used to the way things are, old habits and attitudes, old information and insecurities, actions and hurts, rituals and rules. We continue to drink the old wine, and it makes it so it's enough to keep us from seeking something better. Perhaps even enough to keep us from seeking Jesus and experiencing new wine. Like the wedding guests, as long as there was food, music, and wine, even if it is old, nobody thought about Jesus. One commentator points out, there's no special greeting for him. He's not the guest of honor. No one asked him to give a toast or even acknowledged his presence until the wine gave out. Perhaps because the old was enough, enough to get by, to make do, it was still something. Even if it was not good or great, it was better than nothing. This is the case with many. We don't always seek Jesus until something runs out. Until something terrible happens. We lose our job. We get diagnosed with serious health issues. When an important and impactful relationship is lost or broken. When we run out of answers to life's problems, then we seek Jesus. Turn to God. When the old wine runs out. Chances are pretty good we've all been there at least once, feeling this emptiness, this loss, drained, coming up short. For Paul states it best, we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the issue isn't necessarily that we are empty or that we fall short, that we are depleted or that we run out, but rather who do we turn to be filled? Jesus' mother Mary, though not named here, knows exactly where to turn. She goes to Jesus and tells him the obvious, the wine ran out. But he doesn't think it is of any concern of theirs. And perhaps it's true, as they are just guests at the wedding, not the responsible party for the wine running out on the third day of what's usually a week, at least, of festivities and fun. Yet his mother doesn't take any offense to his response. She remains calm and even tells the servants who are manning the wine station, listen to Jesus. Do whatever he tells you to do. Mary didn't know what Jesus was going to do, when he was going to do it, or even how or why. But she knew the answer to the most important question, the who. She knew the typical Sunday school answer, Jesus. And she trusted. She trusted that whatever he told the servants would bring fruit, would bring glory, would be more than enough. And her words, though few, remind us that if we want the Lord to move in our lives, in our churches, we have to be willing to do what he says. We have to be willing to turn to Jesus, ask for our need, even if it's stating the obvious. And not just await the response, but to do whatever he says. However confusing it might be, or how hard it is to be obedient when what is said doesn't make obvious sense to us. Think about it. The wine ran out. Jesus' mother states the obvious. He tells her it's no concern. She tells the servants to listen to what he tells them to do. And what does he tell them to do? To fill the 6 stone water jars up to the brim. Fill them completely. These water jars that are used for purification rites. How does that solve any problem? How does filling the jars with 20 to 30 gallons each, a total of 120 to 180 gallons of water, help? Lack of water isn't the problem here. It's lack of wine. Yet they respond as Mary urged them. They listened. They filled them to the brim, probably to the point that they were overflowing, and continued to follow Jesus' orders, drew some out and brought it to the chief steward. Now one has to wonder if the servants knew it had become wine at this point before bringing it to the steward, or if they drew straws of who would have to be the one to bring this cup of water to the chief steward. But to everyone's amazement, the water had become wine. And not just any wine, the best wine. Good wine, better than the wine that they were first drinking and got drunk off of, better than the old wine. Praises are made to the bridegroom, noting usually the inferior wine is given after the guests are already drunk, but here the good wine comes now. And the disciples believed. Jesus did this, the first sign, and revealed his glory. And everyone benefits and enjoys the new wine. And why? Perhaps so often overlooked as we jump to the glory of Jesus being revealed, but this happens because of a faithful few. Not because of the disciples, not because of the large crowd of guests at the wedding, or because of the bridegroom or the chief steward, but because of the faith of a few individuals. Jesus' mother naming the problem, the need, remaining calm and trusting in her son, instructing the servants to listen to him in their faith of doing what she said, listening to her words and to Jesus' command. And because of it, many benefited in the goodness of the Lord. The glory is revealed. From these few faithful acts, Jesus is able to take what is empty and inadequate and make the best out of it. He takes the water that they have and he turns it into wine. Jesus is able to take what little we have and transform it. We no longer need to look at what we lost or don't have enough of, but rather look to Jesus, to put what we do have in his hands. The little bit of health, of life, of strength, perhaps even the little bit of sanity. Knowing it might not be the wine we need, but entrusting it to Jesus. Putting it into his hands, bringing it to the Lord who can do something miraculous with it. Jesus takes the water they have and turns it into about 150 gallons of wine. That's over 600 bottles of wine. Exceeding expectations, not just in quality, but in quantity as well. Like Jesus' mother, like the servants, we need to bring what little we have, trusting in the Lord, in Jesus, and listening to him. We don't need to know what the outcome will be, the how, the what, the when, the why. We just need to know the who. We don't need to understand the command from Jesus. We just need to listen for it and obey. Not insisting our own way or the old way, insisting that Jesus must be wrong or being too confused by what he is asking us to do. We just need to listen, to obey, to follow, to trust, as Mary did, that Jesus will act and God's glory will be revealed. The miraculous event, the first sign in the Gospel of John, often overlooks these behind the scenes. Often we use it to boldly proclaim the power of God, how the disciples first believed, of Jesus' glory first being revealed. But the behind the scenes here is important. Those faithful few are so important to this story. For what if Mary never stated the wine was out and just let the party flop? What if she took offense to Jesus' response instead of remaining calm? Or if she didn't tell the servants to listen to him, or if the servants decided on their own not to listen to Jesus? What happens when we don't bring what we have to Jesus? We don't bring our need. What happens when we don't listen to Jesus' command? What do we miss out on? What abundance of tasty new wine do we miss when we both don't let go of the old and don't turn to Jesus when it runs dry? Perhaps the better question is, what would happen if we brought what little we had to Jesus? Whether it be the old wine before it runs dry, or the water, the little bit of energy we have, the little bit of finances, little bit of health and vitality. What would happen if we brought the little bit that we had and placed it in his arms? There's a church outside Baltimore that worships between 20 to 40 people most Sundays. And they decided to do just this, to take the little they had to Jesus. And with it, it's turned into an abundance. During the school year, they run an after-school program and offer a 2-week camp for the same kids during the summer. They have members who cook 8,500 meals a year for an organization called Paul's Place. They have a thriving LGBTQ ministry that gathers for dinner to study scripture. And they hold a relaxed evening worship service that revolves around storytelling and art. One of their church elders is fascinated in the Buddhist ordination process and has decided to offer mindfulness meditation as their resident Buddhist Presbyterian. In their neighborhood, they work to reduce violence, increase involvement in school, and they played an important role in organizing to shut down the local drug corner. They took what little they had, the tiny church building, the few people in attendance, small finances and budget, and they brought it to Jesus. And they put it in his hands, and because of the faithful few, the glory of the Lord was revealed. And it benefited many. The school kids, the hungry, the LGBTQ community, the surrounding neighborhoods, the overall larger community. May we be so bold as to bring not just what little we have before Jesus, but be willing to let go of the old before it even runs dry, to lay it in his arms, to listen to his command and trust in his abundant goodness, all to the glory of God. Amen.